Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Canva is awesome for so many reasons, for your social media, but for work. If you're looking for ways to impact at work, Canva can help your points get across. All right, Mike, what do we use it for? Like one sheets, if we're doing like a presentation, graphics?
Oh, it's awesome for graphics. Super easy to use.
And that's the thing too, especially with some of these apps, you think, well, there's no way I'll be able to use it. Well, me, because I'm a dummy. But even I can use Canva to make things look cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to insult me and say yeah so quickly.
Yeah, you can do it.
Yes.
It's awesome.
So it's easy design, impactful Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, videos. Start with a designer-made template, which makes it so easy, especially for me. Customize with your content. You can add images and graphics and charts. Start designing today at canva.com. Design for work.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Welcome to Wednesday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
All right, let's go around the room and check in. Some call him a dad. Some call him a hero. The amount of Super Bowls his team has won this century still remains at zero.
No. When is this going to end?
Cowboys fan, produce ready, everybody.
Oh, my goodness. Bones, you're a clothes guy, and I was wearing Adidas pants and Nike shoes, and somebody came up to me and said, whoa, that's you can't do that.
Where did somebody say that, though?
Here at work.
Oh,
okay. In the hallway.
Go
ahead. And I was like, I've never heard of that. No, you can't mix brands. Like, if you have a logo on a shirt, you can't wear pants that have a logo of another brand. And I was going to ask you, since you're the clothes guy, have you ever heard of this?
What I do first, I punch him in the nose.
Oh, nice.
And say, mind your own business.
Bunk.
And secondly, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Of course, you wear different clothes and different brands all the time. There is no, unless you're trying to make some sort of statement about, hey, I really love how all these Nike things go together, or Reebok or Adidas. No, you can do that. The only thing that I get superstitious over is wrong socks, wrong shoes. And there's nothing wrong with it. But if I'm wearing a brand, I don't like to wear a different brand of sock just because of a superstition.
Wow. Oh,
and I don't believe in superstitions, but just in case they're right, I like to follow that one.
Okay.
And I know you truly feel this way about the mixing of clothes, but the irony is right now you're wearing all the same
brand. All match, yeah.
From your hat to everything else.
So it is important.
No, it's not.
Well, here for me is...
It's just ironic.
My wife knows that I'm extremely colorblind. Mm-hmm. So like I mentioned before, she was like, hey, this is a cool little thing you can wear that matches. Mm-hmm. And they're hung together. So this color is called caramel.
Yes.
Of this like suit thing I have on.
Yeah.
But this is a her find, and I like it. It's comfortable, one, and then two, I don't have to worry about the colors matching. But Eddie, don't listen to that crap.
All right, good.
You wear whatever you want.
Thank you, man.
And sometimes Adidas just makes better sweats, and Nike makes better shoes. That's just what it is.
That's what I felt.
Yeah. Don't let people hold you down, buddy. All right. DJ Khaled is his winning song, but you probably won't get to hear it often since he gets most of his answers wrong. Here is Lunchbox, everybody.
Oh,
wow. My question for you guys is, why are we not sending me to the Grammys? I just realized the Grammys are coming up. I saw a commercial on TV, and I was like, there has been no talk about me being a Grammy correspondent for the show. It's the biggest night in music. We are one of the biggest radio shows in the country. And we don't have any representation there to bring back audio, interviews, behind-the-scenes stories. And so I want to be the official correspondent. I want to go to the Grammys.
You don't know anything about music, though.
That makes it even better.
It doesn't.
How?
Have you watched those people? Like when they used to be on Ellen and stuff, they'd be a little correspondents. They don't know anything.
They're
funny.
Seven. You're talking about the girls. The cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones from England.
Yeah. They're British.
Yeah, they're British. Sophia Grace, I think was her name.
Oh, yeah, they
were
funny.
You're a 41-year-old American man.
Who works in music, but doesn't know anything about music.
Yeah, but I think you should send me to the Grammys, and we have great stories to talk about.
I don't think we are. Unless you can right now, since you know so much about music, unless right now you can name...
Come on.
Five of the people up for Best New Artist.
Ooh, go ahead.
Best New Artist is...
Because there are 10.
Oh, man.
It's tough?
Yeah, that's not a category I'm strong in, though.
Oh, it's not?
No, let me think. What's his name? Rapper.
Oh.
That guy?
Yeah. So my point is...
No, hold on. I'm
it wouldn't
not
be
yet.
That funny, first of all, if you don't know anything. And how do you plan to get all the access?
Well, we just got to apply for a media badge.
But you don't get access.
What do you mean?
Like full access behind the stage story. You think all those reporters are back at parties getting behind the stage stories? No.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to happen, but we appreciate that. You just want a free trip.
Yeah. Andy Grammer.
Andy Grammer?
What year is this, 2004?
It's a new artist.
It's been around for a bit.
Latto.
That's why I said Latto. I was going to say Lizzo. Okay, anyway.
What does Latto sing?
That's it. Yeah, it's exactly it.
All right, who else up there?
Thank you, Lunchbox. But no. Somebody is going. I don't want to break it to you now.
What?
Yeah.
Who's going? Say it now.
Is it now? It's a different conversation.
Are you freaking kidding me? So you pick someone over...
It's not you. Why is Amy slow clapping?
I don't
right
know, because I'm like.
You think it's
segment,
funny that he picked someone over me?
No, I feel bad for you, but this just got.
But then you laugh
because now we get to wait to see. No, that's he's amazing. Sending someone, and I don't know who it is.
Anyway, moving on. If you count to five, you've gone too far. It's the Four Things podcast, and she is the star. Here's Amy.
Okay. So Mike D came on the show the other day and gave a movie review of Tom Hanks's new movie, A Man Called Otto. And when I think you asked him, would anybody on the show like it? The only person he said was, yeah, Amy. Amy, I think, would like it. So I decided to go see it in the movie theater. And it's awesome.
By yourself?
No, I went with, there's three girlfriends. We took up four seats in the back row, and we were there until after the credits ended and the lights came on because we were still emotionally processing what we had just watched. And we were all crying. Wow. And it was, but... The crazy thing is it's really, really sad, but there's also some levity tossed in, and you find yourself laughing a lot, too.
Tom Hanks awesome in it?
In a split second of being sad. He's amazing in it. And the neighbor, I don't know her name. I had never seen her before, but his neighbor, the woman that her comedic timing, especially in something heavy, is just perfect.
Hey, actress Amy over here talking about comedic
timing. Wow. She knows what she's talking about.
Yeah. So I highly recommend it, especially if you need to get out a good cry. This will do it. And if it doesn't, well, I don't know.
Go to a therapist.
You might need to work on that. But I give it 4.5 out of 5. Que buenos.
Hey, Mike, is this only able to be seen at the theater right now?
Yes, it is.
Stupid.
Worth it.
Oh, man.
Worth it, yeah.
Stupid. Okay, Ray.
From Mount Pine, Arkansas, he considers himself famous in rural places, and his shoes he never laces. Bobby Bones.
Thank you very much, everybody. So, I got suckered, I think. I was going to maybe put this in a scam alert, but I'm not going to go full scam on it. So, they have these dog toys, and Eller loves a toy. She is very territorial over them, and she loves toys more than any dog I've ever seen. She brings them to me constantly, wants to play pool, wants to play throw. Squeak, 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 toys all the time. So there was a toy online that maybe my wife found or one of her friends found that says, here's a squeak, but it's only a squeak that a dog can hear. So it's a penguin, and it squeaks, and you don't hear anything, the human, because you know they have those whistles.
Oh, yeah, dog
whistles.
They're
so high-pitched that humans can't hear them. So what they claim is when it squeaks, it's still a squeak, but so high-pitched, only the dog is bothered by it.
I like that.
I'm going to tell you, I think it's full of crap.
Does the dog not react?
No, and how are we supposed to know if we can't hear it?
That's true.
Mm. I think they suckered us. It's almost as because she has this penguin and she's over there chewing it. It's like she's disappointed because there ain't no squeak coming out. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if she just loves the squeak, only we can't hear it. I don't think they work.
That's pretty genius. If you say that, humans can't see this, but it happens.
But trust us. Because you can't actually talk to the dog and be like, do you hear this? And I'll squeak it when she's turned the other direction. She doesn't turn around.
Huh.
So you tell me that thing's squeaking.
I can't.
It's bull crap. If you ask me. But I can't even say it's bullcrap, so I don't want to get sued. I don't know. It just isn't working for us.
This makes me think of something years ago, I don't know, probably 15 years ago you did on air where you played some audio and you said, okay, I can't even remember what you did, but it was hilarious. It was a prank like this. You scammed people and you're like, your dog should be able to hear this. Or do you remember what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
Well, it's funny.
Good story.
You should do it again.
And then you found $10. Yeah.
Well, I thought
but how can we do it again if we don't know what it is?
I'll think of it.
Okay. All right, that's it. Let's go. Thank you for joining us here on the Bobby Bones Show. We got a good one for you today. It's time for the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Hello. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Bobby Bones. My boyfriend and I recently went on an 8-hour road trip. We switched back and forth as drivers and discovered we have different opinions on who controls what we listen to. My boyfriend says the driver gets to pick the music or podcast since they are the one behind the wheel. I say the passenger gets to pick because they're the co-pilot and should be in charge of the music and also navigation. Who controls what you listen to on a road trip, the driver or the passenger? P.S. We listen to 25 Whistles on the trip, and we love when Jordan Davis is on your football show. Signed, Oxcord Casey. There is nuance to this, because if you just had to pick one, which you don't, you pick the driver, because the driver's doing the work, and the driver's got to stay focused and not tired and stay stimulated enough to not fall asleep.
Yes.
But it is not an either-or type thing. My wife and I go on road trips all the time. I drive 95% of the time unless we do the eating switch where I'll pop over to the passenger side and eat. Then we'll drive to a next stop and then we'll switch back. We negotiate before we go what we're going to listen to. Podcasts mostly. And it's like, okay, we're going to listen to this podcast. And then you can have this one, or we'll do a book. We'll listen to a book on the way. But it's mostly a negotiation, because if one of the people are miserable, it makes the trip miserable. If one of the people just sits and doesn't get control of the music or the podcast for 8 hours, it's not worth it for someone to sit in there and hate what's happening. So I would encourage you to figure out a nice, negotiable, something you'll both like, because you're going to fight. It's boyfriend, girlfriend. You're going to fight, and you're going to be in a fight for 8 hours. It's going to be miserable in the car. That ain't worth it. So it's not like the armrest in the airplane or the window in the on the airplane. When the person who controls the window is the person who sits by the window, that's it.
100% all the time.
Yeah. Yes. Unless your girlfriend's sitting in the middle seat and you know she – but then you have to deal with that when you get off the plane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's more about that than it is what exactly happens in the car. So you need to negotiate. You can do one-to-one, boom, 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 or you can find things that you both like. But you can't go one or the other unless you're switching out like every hour driving. Because the dumbest thing I've ever read is the co-pilot should also be in charge of the music and navigation.
That's dumb.
That's some bull crap.
Yeah,
the co-pilot gets to look at their phone. Co-pilot gets to tweet,
they
be on Instagram, sleep. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. If anything, it's the driver. But since you're in a relationship, you need to figure it out so you don't fight the whole trip and it's miserable for both of you. That's the only answer. Oxcord Casey, thank you. I hope you can figure it out. If all else fails, listen to the Bobby Bones Show the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, that's
over
good.
And over
good
again. One. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. That's the mailbag. Close it up.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
I've been feeling a little heavy, and so I got on the scale today and I weighed myself, and I don't weigh myself very often anymore, but I'm, from my own goals, I'm a little heavier than I would like to be, and I start to go, I'm taking this new medicine because I'm having like crazy PTSD dreams again, and so I'm like, man, that medicine must be making me gain weight, and then I'm like, it's got to be the medicine, and then I start to look back over the last 3 or 4 days that I've been eating.
Oh, not the medicine?
It's not the medicine.
No.
That's those pies.
But I really went first to blame that medicine. I even Googled. I was like, can this medicine put... Hey. And it's like, with some people, and I'm like, yep, that's it. And then it's like, what about those 18 chicken strips over 2 days? What about the... So it's not the medicine, but that's a little breakthrough I had today. So I got to get back on it a little bit. Glad you guys are here with us. Lunchbox wanted to bring a story to the show today because he's fired up about it. Okay, what is it?
I mean, I don't even know if you want to call this a scam alert, but it seems like a scam alert to me. Buzz Aldrin, yeah, thank you.
Wait, don't give him the power of the scam alert. Yeah. Don't give him that power. Go ahead.
We all know Buzz Aldrin, right?
Yeah.
The astronaut, yes.
Yeah, the guy, the second guy to
How
walk on the
moon. How old is he now?
Well, he just celebrated his 93rd birthday.
Wow.
And on his 93rd birthday, he got married to his girlfriend, who
okay.
is 63. You tell me she ain't just hoping for the money.
Are you sure he's rich, though?
He's got to be
rich. He's got to be rich. It's Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah. I mean, surely he's
And so I assume this 63-year-old woman is like, dude, I mean, I ain't got to be married to him long. Like,
yeah,
he'll be gone.
Worth is $14 million.
Okay. So, yeah. Look at that.
Why get married at that age, though, 93?
Like, but you're still a human, and you're still wanting love, and it looks like he's with it.
We were joined in holy matrimony, and they are like as happy as eloping teenagers is what they said. I mean, couple questions.
Go ahead.
A, is she in it for the money? B, is she not worried, like, if they...
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
They do it.
He's going to have a heart attack?
I don't know what she's worried about.
At 93 years old, like, what?
I also would know that Buzz probably has all his ducks in a row, meaning...
At 93, do you have your ducks in a row?
No, money, you mean?
Yeah, before he got to that age, he lined his ducks up.
Yeah.
And maybe she was like, we should really get married. And then once you're married, guess what?
Why are you putting it all on? How do you know she's not rich and he's not marrying her to have a better lifestyle?
Have you ever heard of Anka Faur?
But I haven't heard of most rich people.
Did she walk on the moon?
Nope.
No.
But she's also 63, not 19.
Exactly.
Exactly. She's 63.
No. You guys both can't say exactly when I'm making a point.
I'm saying exactly to agree with
you.
So
what is your point here, Lunchbox?
I am just worried for Buzz Aldrin that he is being scammed. Mm. That this woman married him, and she is there just until he, because she's waiting for him to kick the can, kick the bucket, you know?
I think old Buzz has got it under control.
Yeah, what if she brings him happiness in his final years?
No, I get
Amy went to happiness, Eddie went to pretty.
I mean, hey, there they go together.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, but he's 93, guys.
Yeah, but when I was, let's say 15 years ago, I'd be like, but he's 71. You know, as you get older, and 93 is very old, but he's with it, man. I'm looking at him. For 93, he didn't look a day over 82.
I mean, I feel like there's someone behind him propping him up.
Oh my God. I think he was on Dancing with the Stars a few years ago.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, and how'd that go? Not very good.
Well, okay. He's older.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You just agreed with me.
That's a very strenuous show.
Also, why do you care? Think? When you want to be an old guy, you married somebody 30 years younger?
That'd be great.
Right.
But I'm just worried about... Man.
I'm sure money.
He's fine.
Prenup.
I'll call him today.
Hey, Buzz.
Hello. Hello. Is someone there?
He's fine.
Who is this?
Come on. It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
When 10-year-old Kelowna of Greensboro, North Carolina, found out there was a lot of food insecurity in her community, she got really sad. She's like, Mom, I feel bad for the grandmas and grandpas. We should give them some love. So she did lunchboxes of love. She filled them up with healthy food, chicken salad sandwiches, water, and some hygiene products. And she took the lunchboxes and handed them out to 100 people in the community. All old people, though.
Wow. Well, we do lunchbox of love, too, but... Mm-hmm. It's him every morning, full of love.
Oh, Lunchbox.
Yeah, she wants it. Yeah, you guys don't really give me love. You give me hate.
No, you give us love. You're just a loving person.
Yeah, I'm just a loving person. Yeah. And I'm glad that my sponsored
don't sponsor her.
Okay,
You don't sponsor her.
But I need to do
it. I think she named it after me because she's inspired by me every day.
What's her name?
Her name is Kelowna Fewell. Well,
yeah, you sponsor her, right? You can't even say her name. Yeah.
Kalona.
And how old is she?
She is 10 years old. Okay. And she goes, guys, help people in your community. And if you don't have money, just reach out to strangers and ask for donations. They'll hook you up.
That's awesome. They will
Lunchbox
hook you up.
Is love.
Our listeners have shown they will hook him up, too. Lunchbox, our own lunchbox with groceries, Christmas presents.
That's right.
Okay, Lunchbox, thank you. That is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
We'll talk about what show you really don't have an interest in watching, even though it's super popular right now, in just a second. But the reason we're talking about it is because The Mandalorian has 84 million views in 24 hours as far as the trailer goes. Now,
wow.
I bet you The Mandalorian's really great, but I never watched Star Wars. I never got into The Mandalorian. But Mike D loves The Mandalorian.
I love The Mandalorian. I think if you even haven't seen any Star Wars movie, you could get into this
really?
Show. Yeah.
Because it has nothing to do with the Star Wars storyline, really.
But like I don't really have an interest. Okay. But I bet you it's good.
Yeah, of the kind of shows you like, I think you would be interested in this.
Come on.
Give it a shot.
Is it annoying to you that there's not a big contingent of Mandalorian watchers here on this show?
Yeah, nobody else watches this show except Eddie.
Do you watch it religiously, Eddie?
No.
You just catch
like,
it?
Like, I saw the preview for this, and I'm like, oh, maybe if I get there. I'm watching some other shows right now. Maybe if I have time, I'll watch it.
But what about the first Mandalorian?
Saw it. Loved it.
But did you watch it every week, like waiting for it?
No. No, my son watched it first. He said it's good. Then I watched it with him again.
Have you watched the butcher knife wielding hatchet guy.
I saw the preview. He's like, I was in Dogtown. I was skateboarding. And then, wow. And then he did a little message before. He's like,
peace and love. Everybody's worthy. Everybody's worthy.
Dude, that looks so good.
It's a one-shot deal. It's a one. It's not an episode. It's a documentary.
Yeah, it popped
Kai, the hatchet wielding hitchhiker. And the fact that you guys won't watch that, because you should. It's awesome.
I want to.
Yeah, you should watch that. So what show is it? And I'll give you a show of mine, which is White Lotus. Like, I don't really care to watch it. I'm sure it's good. I've never seen an episode. I have no interest in going to pursue White Lotus.
You would love it, though, yeah. Bones.
Probably.
You would love it. Great storyline.
So what show do you have no interest in watching that's popular right now, Amy?
That, whatever that followed Game of Thrones, the new one.
Yeah, but you never watched Game of Thrones, so I just wouldn't expect...
Exactly.
You would like that one.
Exactly my point.
Not gonna watch that.
But I wouldn't think you'd like a prequel or a sequel if you didn't like the original, but it's really good. Amy. But you can watch that and really like it.
But what's it called again?
House of Dragon.
That.
Oh, it's so good and so simple compared to Game of Thrones, which was like studying trigonometry. Because I got that. I was like, oh, I'm tired. I need to check out.
Yeah, I didn't like trigonometry.
I've been cramming all night. You're back in school, Bobby? No, watch Game of Thrones. Eddie?
Yellowstone. Come on, man. I was a cowboy. My dad bought a ranch when we were in middle school. You know, like, dude, I'd rope cows and stuff and, like, live that life. I watched the first episode, the first season, like, half of the first season. I'm like, I don't want this.
Why?
So unrealistic.
I think you'd like it. It is a little corny at times. I think if you stayed with it, you'd like it. But that's a good example. You have no interest, but it's very popular. We all love it.
All the cowboys, they go in the little house and play guitar and sing.
They don't. One does.
Stop it. Get out of here.
Lunchbox.
Eddie stole mine. It's Yellowstone because I watch it and it seems so corny and it reminds me of the TV show Nashville. When it was on, everybody loved it and I would see the previews and I was like, that looks so corny.
I like Nashville. Same. It was corny though. It's almost like if you know it's corny, you're not turned off by the corn.
And so that's why, is Yellowstone the same way? Because when I see
Yellowstone gets a bit corny sometimes, but it also makes up for it with like fighting and dramatic
intensity.
And love.
And
a lot of drama.
Yeah.
I like it. I like Yellowstone a lot. I'll be honest with you. It is corny at times, though. Yes. Raymundo, any show that everybody likes?
Yeah, Breaking Bad. I just feel like it would make me more interested in drugs, and I've never known anything about drugs, so I don't want to be a part of that.
You think you'd go to being a meth user immediately?
No.
You'd be like, dang, Walter White's got it. Okay.
I feel like I would research it a little bit, and it's just not the path I want to go down.
Interesting.
It's good, though.
It's also not a new show.
Yeah, it's not really popular now.
Because I would have went with like The Sopranos. I never watched The Sopranos. And I'm sure it's amazing, but it really had no interest. And I'm not going to get it. Friday Night Lights, same thing.
Oh, dude, don't do that.
I know, right, but I have no interest. There are all these new shows that I want to watch.
Right.
When it goes to old shows you never watched, Amy, don't say Game of Thrones, because if you do, I'm going to dump your table over.
Okay, give me a second.
Okay. Eddie?
Game of Thrones.
Did you watch Dexter?
No.
So
Dexter,
good.
Never watched that one. House of Cards, never watched that one.
That's good.
House of Cards is good.
What's the one with, is that the one with Kevin Spacey?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
it's real good. But then whenever he got in trouble and they came back without him, it wasn't that good.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then I was like.
But he had to go.
Yeah, he had to go, but I've missed him.
Entourage, you guys love that one.
That was such a good show.
Never watched that one.
And that was for the time too, but that was awesome. Oh, I can't believe you didn't watch Entourage. Amy, did you come to anything?
I feel like most of the old ones. Like, I was late to the Grey's Anatomy train. I didn't watch a lot of it for years, and now I'm in it.
That I didn't care about was the one in the 50s with the ad agency.
Mad Men.
Yeah.
That's the one I was going to say, Mad Men. And then another one, Downton Abbey, whatever that
is. I tried it.
Downton Abbey.
I
don't know what language they were talking. I had to put it on closed caption or whatever. And
I think it's English.
Yeah, I struggle with it, though. I'll be honest.
A show I can't get back into with the new season that came out, and I'm like, I was so invested. But I've tried to start the latest season of The Crown, and I can't. And it should be the most interesting and fascinating because Princess Diana, and I can't quite get there, and I don't know why.
I didn't watch the new Dexter on HBO, not because I haven't wanted to, just haven't thought about it. Like when it comes to passion things. I'm in the middle of a couple other shows now, which sometimes I don't want to say what I'm into on the show because I don't want people to spoil it for me. Then when I'm done, I'll be like, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Smart.
I didn't watch the Jeffrey Dahmer stuff on Netflix.
Nah, not going to do that.
Don't.
I think I would have, but Caitlin was like, I don't want to watch this.
That's like what Ray's saying, put you in a dark place. I don't want to.
Oh, I don't want to be a mass murderer because I'd watch it and I'd go,
yeah, exactly. What was the one we watched? Ted Bundy. That was the one.
That was good, though.
That was good.
Yeah. That was good. I travel a lot. I don't like traveling. I travel a lot for work. So if it's work and I'm on the road, if it's a vacation, I always find myself packing basically an extra bag with all the essentials. I better take two toothbrushes in case I lose one. I better take extra toothpaste. I better take extra shaving gel. I do this constantly, right? I do it with like underwear and stuff too. So, but here's the thing. Now, because of Target Circle 360, that is in the past. Because if you're going on vacation, if you're traveling for work, Target Circle 360 gives everyone unlimited same-day delivery wherever they go. You can pack lighter, or you can just not worry if you forget as much stuff because you doo-doo, boop, ba-doop, boop, ba-doop, boop, in it right there. Sign up for Target Circle 360 today. The only thing better than getting delivery from Target is getting unlimited same-day delivery from Target while you're on vacation or while you're on the road. Sign up for the new Target Circle 360 so you can stock up on food, supplies, or pool stuff, or everything in between without ever interrupting your summer plans. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but you know, somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. This is a really hard game. It's the hardest game that we play. That's why we call it Never Gonna Get It. But if you do, with the assistance of the show, you get a $50 gift card to Sonic. Let us bring on Maisie, who lives in Austin, Texas. Maisie, good morning. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. So I'm going to give you a question here. First of all, you get a chance to answer it, and if you miss it, that's okay. You get two other chances to win, okay?
Okay.
All right, the question is, now think about it. Everybody write your answer down here.
Okay.
We've all seen it in movies, but only about 20% of Americans say they've actually seen it in person. What is it? So, in movies, we've seen it.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
But only about 20% of Americans say they've actually seen it in person.
Ah.
What is it?
Seen it in movies.
So it's supposed to be hard. That's why she gets a chance to answer, then you guys, and then we have our wild card round. All right, Maisie, I'm coming to you first. The question is, 20% of people have actually visited this, even though we've all seen it in movies. What is it?
A festival.
A festival. Okay. That's an answer. That's an incorrect one, but that's an answer. Okay. Now, okay, we're going to go over here.
Man,
you can pick Amy, Lunchbox, Eddie, or Morgan, because they've all written their answers down. Guys, how do you feel about it?
I feel good because at one point you said Americans, and so I had to go with that clue, and that made me, okay, that feels really good, solid.
I'm not sure of the question, really.
Okay, we've all seen it in movies, but only 20% of Americans say they've actually seen it in person.
Okay. Yeah. Seen it.
Mm-hmm. Or visited it or whatever. It can be whatever you want.
Visited it.
That's what throws me off.
Because at first I was like,
yeah, visited it. It changed my answer.
Totally.
When you said saw it, I was like,
struggle with visited it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what is it? Okay, who would you like to team up with, Maisie? Because if they get it, you get it. Would you like Amy, Lunchbox, Eddie, or Morgan?
I'm going to do Amy.
Okay.
Amy, that was crazy.
What do you have over there?
I have Eiffel Tower.
That's good.
I had that, Amy, but then he said Americans, so I changed.
I have Americans traveling over there to see it.
Yeah, I would imagine 80% of French would have seen
Eiffel
Tower.
Yeah, if you live there.
That's a good point.
Lunchbox, what'd you have?
Statue of Liberty.
Eddie?
New York City.
Morgan?
The Hollywood sign.
Okay, Maisie, would you
Oh, Hollywood sign's real good.
I think they're all good.
Would you like to stay with Amy, Maisie, or pick someone else after you've heard their answers?
I'm going to stay with Amy.
Amy, you said the Eiffel Tower, and that's wrong.
Ooh.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah, so we're going to go to Maisie now. This is the third round. This is where you've got a 50-50 shot. Now, Lunchbox has...
Statue of Liberty.
Eddie has...
New York City.
And Morgan has...
The Hollywood sign.
Which ain't bad.
You can say that any of them got it right, or you can say that none of them got it right. And if any of them get it right, you win, or if none of them get it right, you win, but you got to pick the right way. It's 50-50.
Oh, Hollywood sign. See it in movies.
Yeah, you see it in movies all the time.
The city, New York City, the buildings.
So you can pick, if you say any of them get it right, and any of the three get it right, you win. Or you can say you think they all miss it, and if they all miss it, you win, but if one of them get it right, you lose. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm
going
to say one of them got it.
Okay.
Oh. Wow, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, so one of you have to get it right for her to win.
Feels good.
Do we have to change our answers?
Morgan, your answer is?
Hollywood sign.
That's incorrect.
Oh!
Eddie, your answer is?
Yeah, I knew it.
New York City.
Come on!
Hang around.
Okay! Oh! Hey. I'll hang around too.
Lunchbox Hollywood sign?
Nope.
What'd you have?
Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty.
You know where that's located though.
In New York City.
Yes, I gotta hang around too.
Lunchbox, hey, go home. You're out of here.
Oh.
Well, then you lost too. Because
that's not the same.
The city is the city.
Yeah, you can go to New York City and not see the Statue of Liberty.
Yes.
It happens
many
times.
Pretty much every time I go.
But if you go to the Statue of Liberty, you see New York City.
Well, you don't have to go to New York City, though.
So my logic is 100% right.
Come on,
my friend, you are wrong, too.
Oh. Dang.
That's
not a good one.
Maisie, you had three shots, including a 50-50. You did not get it right. The answer is the Grand Canyon. It's the second most popular national park behind the Great Smoky Mountains, and we've seen it on something, but only some of us have been. I've been for work. I had to go and hang over the thing 4,000 feet on a rope. Breaking Bobby Bones on Disney Plus is miserable.
We were on a plane. I was taking pictures of it. You're like, dude, just Google the image. Stop taking pictures.
Yeah, exactly. Maisie, I'm very sorry. I'm thankful you listened, but you did not win today.
That's okay.
Do you want another shot?
Yeah!
Not now.
Not you.
We'll keep her number and we'll give her a call some other time.
I think I'll do it again.
Okay. Maisie, thank you for playing and hopefully we'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right,
I love your
bye-bye.
Name, Maisie.
Maisie, that's a good one.
Cute.
Here's a voicemail we got last night.
Hey, Bobby. You know, I'm okay with all your collegiate alliance, you know, but Dallas? Really? I mean, I get Eddie, but it's just Eddie. Come on, man. You got to support the one team that matters the most. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles! Fly, Eagles, fly.
Are you still sad, Eddie?
Wow. No, I'm over it. I'm over it. I've had a few days to kind of recover. But why? It's just Eddie. I don't understand that part.
Well, here's the thing. When it comes to you, it's just you, buddy.
I have no idea.
We still have our team in the mix, though.
That's
that we bet
right.
The San Francisco 49ers. Woo!
Thank you to the Cowboys.
So,
oh, good.
Once Tampa lost, who we bet on at the beginning of the season, we all jumped back in for $20.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And San Francisco is the team we drew out of a hat.
That's right.
They win, we win, baby.
Okay. Let's go.
All right.
What do we win again?
Kazash.
A million.
Cold Kazash.
I don't know, but it's more than we put in. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you know. Here's one more voicemail. Go ahead.
I have a morning corny. Why does Woody from Toy Story not know what a Super Bowl is? Because he's a cowboy. Go Niners.
This is double whammy.
Eddie, it's just...
Wow. Jeez Louise.
They're just coming at you today.
Gosh, guys.
That was the best one ever.
Take it easy.
That's that's tough for old Eddie there.
Wow. The Bobby Bones
Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
A new survey was taken on American landmarks, and one question they asked is, what is your least favorite U.S. landmark?
There are a bunch of cars upside down into the ground in Texas.
The Cadillac. Something.
Like farm or something. Yeah, and they're all like halfway in the ground. And I drive by it. I'm like, who would ever stop to see this? So I don't know if it's on the official landmark register, but
I don't think it made the
list.
That
one comes to mind.
The Hollywood sign, that got the most hate. Can't even get close to it. I mean, this people had complaints about it. Like, okay, you could just look at it in a picture and feel like you're getting the same vibe.
Yeah, I guess.
That's how you feel about anything.
I had seen it on so many movies that when I first started to have to go to Los Angeles, which was so foreign to me because I grew up in Arkansas and I never thought I would go there until work made me go there. I would go like, where is that sign? And then when I get there now, I'm always like, I still look for it.
That's cool.
And I've had to like be there a bunch at this point. I like it. I mean, I don't want to go up to it, but I like it. And it'd be difficult to get to. And it's called the Cadillac Ranch.
Oh, the ranch. Okay. And
it's standing along in near Amarillo. I've seen it. Why have I?
That's weird.
Guess just
I've never seen it.
Being in Amarillo.
Yeah, maybe.
I've seen it. Yeah, what else?
The favorite landmarks, in case you want to add these to your list to check out, Arlington National Cemetery, Mount Rushmore, the National Mall in D.C., Pearl Harbor Memorial, and the Statue of Liberty.
Boy, it's a lot of memorials, and I get it, and I'm so glad they exist, but I don't know that I just am aching to get to them. Like, I went to see Pearl Harbor because I want to go and see this once. And I was kind of dreading it, even though I knew I should go because I knew what had happened there. Like, I like happy landmarks, like the Liberty Bell, which is, I get it, it's stupid. I've been there.
Have you seen Mount Rushmore?
No.
Oh, yeah, I want to go there. Let's go.
No, one of my buddies went, and it was like an overcast day, and he goes, I barely saw the chin. He was like, I barely saw the chin of one of those guys.
No.
So, most appreciated landmarks are those memorials, but like ones that I'm like excited to go to. I can't say that I get excited to go. I do go, and I think I've been to all of them, and I give my appreciation, but it's more of a sadness and a respect more than it is an excitement.
Oh, yeah, because Arlington National Cemetery, everybody should see, but it's heavy.
It's heavy. It's like the 9/11 memorial.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy. But Statue of Liberty is cool.
What a lot else smaller than you think.
Liberty Bell.
Well, I mentioned Liberty Bell a second ago. It's dumb.
What about the Alamo? Let me tell you, the Alamo is the smallest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, it's dumb.
And so is the White House. I was shocked when I saw it for the first time in my life.
I thought, because there was a group that I knew back when I was in elementary school from a different school who went to Washington, D.C. And I was like, I can't believe they get to go see all that stuff on TV. The Washington, D.C., the Lincoln Memorial, and I was thought it was so cool that people actually got to go see it. Then when I became an adult, again, working, and I would go play the Warner Theater up there, I was like, I'm going to go walk this and go. And as an adult, it was awesome.
So cool.
I think there's such a respect for all of that when you're an adult, and it's so much cooler because the stories don't seem like fiction. Because when you're in third grade and you learn about Abraham Lincoln, everything in history seems like fiction in 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
But once you get to be an adult and you realize our country hasn't even been here that long, and then you see, oh, it's awesome. That's like an awesome adult landmark is that group of them right there, like that mall spot of D.C. All right, what else?
A 45-year-old woman in Louisiana that worked in the cafeteria at a high school was recently caught selling some baked goods laced with marijuana.
Oh.
A student reported her, and she was arrested.
What a stupid student. Like,
this is
alone.
My question around the room. Like, who would report the cafeteria worker?
What a nerd.
I am torn. Because
right.
They should report the cafeteria worker.
Yes.
You can't do that in a school. You can't do that in a school. But then I'm like, once they find out who that student's going to get beat up.
Yeah.
That's why I'm torn because there are a lot of kids.
I don't know if they'll find out because the student reported it through a Crime Stoppers app.
They know. Hey, trust me.
Someone will hack
known.
It.
You can't do that at a school. So she should be caught. That is not good. But I feel bad for that kid because they're going to get beat up. Ugh.
For doing the
that
right
was
thing.
So me.
Yeah.
I was that kid. All right, what else?
Carly Pierce admitted to bribing a cop. She was doing one of those videos where she's doing makeup and telling a story, and she decided to tell a story about how a time she was trying to get to a show and she was speeding in Kentucky. She got pulled over, gave her a ticket. She just didn't really pay attention to the ticket, kind of paid it. And I guess she got cited, though, for reckless driving, which is more major than just speeding. And there's more steps you have to take, and she didn't take them. So she got a warrant out for her arrest. Somehow, I guess she figured out the police officer got the warrant removed because she offered him concert tickets. And so I was like, oh.
I think she needs to be arrested now. It can't be that cut and dry.
I don't know if it's that. I mean, I'm paraphrasing the story here, but that's what
somebody needs to tell on her. That kid who told on the school cafeteria lady needs to get a hold of this.
Yeah.
That can't be like that, right? I've had police officers that were super cool to me. If I were going 6 or 7 over, and I really don't speed, there's one part of Arkansas that we drive through for me to get home. It's a town. And the cop pulled me over. And I think they pull everybody over that speeds. It's like a one street town. and the speed limit's like 35. And he pulled me over and he says, son, you're going 42, and I see these are out-of-state plates. Where are you coming from? And you know they love to pull over an out-of-state person.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would. If I was a cop from a town and somebody's flying through from out-of-state, I give him two tickets. I give him the Carly Pierce special. I'd arrest him for reckless driving. And so I said, yes, officer. We live in Tennessee. We were driving home. I live here. And about that time, he does that thing where he like squints his eyes and it's like,
wait a second.
But he doesn't say anything. And so he walks back to the back and he comes back and he goes, I appreciate everything you do for us. And you're only going 7 over, so I'm not going to give you a ticket. But if you were going 9, I was going to give you a ticket. And I said, thank you, officer. I'm out of here. And then I accidentally, as a rental car, we were on gravel.
You peeled out.
I didn't.
That's what I'm talking about.
No. I didn't peel out. I wasn't used to driving that rental car that we had. And so, like, on the gravel. And Caitlin goes, what are you doing?
Watch me.
I was like, hey, this is the Bobby Boone Show.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Oh. It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
There's a Yorkie named Avery, and Yorkie always ran around in the front yard, and Raquel had Yorkie for years, and it was just gone. She was like, I know that I didn't leave the gate open, but the Yorkie was gone. Avery the Yorkie was gone. So she called the police. She posted those missing signs all over the neighborhood. The local news covered the story. But when the posters went up, then they knew how to get in touch with her. And they sent her a video of Avery, the dog, in a cage. That is crazy. Like a ransom video.
What?
What'd you think I was talking about?
I don't
know,
but yeah, ransom. That's crazy.
The texter demanded $1,200 for her to get her pup back. You guys didn't react quick enough when I said dog in a cage.
Because I was like, okay, they found the dog. It's in a cage. But
oh, no, you thought they found it like at the okay. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't. They said, here's a dog. You want her back? $1,200.
Dang.
Sent that video. I know. Then, after she told the story, she had a guy come up to her, Iraq War veteran Richard Mackamer. And he was like, hey, I'll help you find the dog if you want. Instead of you paying the $1,200. So he got all the information from her that she knew about the dog nappers. The phone number, the video. He put out the phone number. He started to go on Facebook and stuff and put out the phone number. Anybody know this? He connected that to a social media profile. The veteran then used some sort of, I don't know what he used. I'm not even gonna ask questions. But he figured out who the people were, was able to track them down. And they ended up arresting the suspect in return.
Let's go.
This is like Taken.
Yeah
for dogs.
Mm-hmm. Here's a clip of the Marine Corps veteran explaining how he found the dog nappers.
I put the dog napper's phone number into my personal phone, which is connected to my Instagram account. And probably 3 to 4 hours later, the Instagram recommended that I follow an account associated with that phone number.
You know what? What I believe is something a little more than that happened.
Not that simple.
That's what I'm going to believe because I don't think it happened that easy, but I think what he did was awesome. Can you believe somebody sent a video of a dog in a cage going, if you want it back, $1,200?
No, it doesn't sound real.
That's crazy. Well, that's what's up. And you would text it from, you send it from your own cell?
Yeah, you would have to have a burner one. What are you doing?
And you can't really get burner phones as easy anymore.
Oh, is that right?
So I hear.
How do you know that?
All right. Well, that's an awesome story. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
It's at this time every morning we do the Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
What do you get when you cross an elephant with a rhino?
What?
Elephino.
There you go.
That was the Morning Corny.
I like that one.
Okay, finally.
I heard that one like 20 years ago.
You did?
You haven't heard that one?
Never.
That's okay. Yeah. Well, good.
I'm telling that one at dinner tonight.
Good. So I do a podcast from my house. It's long form, deep conversations with songwriters and artists. And Jake Owen was over to the house. And Jake's a very close friend of mine. And so I was able to go to a lot of places with him that I don't know a lot of people have gone. And so I want you to go listen to it if you have a few minutes. Well, it's an hour long. But Jake has now been sober for a year and a half, and this is him talking about that.
It's been cool, too, because I've encouraged a lot of people, friends of mine, to do the same. And I'm like, yeah, you don't need it. So I feel way better. I make better decisions. I never had a drinking problem, but when I did drink, I just wasn't a good person. And I didn't want to be that guy anymore. Now I'll just drink some non-alcoholic IPAs every now and then or something. Bud White's.
And so what Bud Whites are, because I laughed, I was like, is that a real thing? He goes, well, they're the non-alcoholic Bud Lights, and they're in a white can, so I call them Bud Whites.
That's funny.
I was like, that's funny. And he mentioned him and his twin brother. They were roommates when they were before they were born, but they're woo-mates.
Hilarious.
Woo-mates. Yeah. What's fun about Jake is, because Jake and I hang out a lot socially, and we'll go on trips together, is that I never had a use for a sommelier. What do you call it? The wine person who cut sommelier?
Yeah.
But I'm basically Jake's mocktail sommelier. And I'm like, oh, you'll like this citrus flavor because it gives a little punch.
Oh, boy.
I didn't realize you were an expert at mocktails. I didn't either.
Not only am I an expert in mocktails, but I can tell based on the establishment, because since I don't drink, I know if it's called a mocktail. I know if it's called, if you want to go virgin, or if you say, I'll take an N.A., and then you say it that way.
Oh.
Because it's non-alcoholic.
Oh.
Put in. I'm a sommelier of mocktails.
I had no idea.
Yes. Jake revealed that he'll only retire from playing music if he stops loving it, and someday he may have to change the lyrics to Barefoot Blue Jean Night to highlight him getting older.
What am I going to do when I'm 50? Am I going to still be saying, whoa, never going to grow up? Because people are going to be like, you did. You're 50 now. Yeah, I think, whoa, I've really grown up. Whoa, oh. I'm kind of starting to slow down. What if I should just do a new version of that? Blue eyes and silver hair.
Then he just goes. Yeah. He basically writes it right there, his own parody. He got emotional talking about the story that I shared of him really for the first time publicly, about him letting a cancer patient from his restaurant that he goes to a lot use his tour bus for treatment, and why that was a real highlight of his career.
Got to me, because there are times where you wonder if, like, when you do good for people, you don't do it, like I said, but you do it because you hope that they remember the kind of person you are. To be able to be remembered for that kind of thing, forget everyone else knowing, because I never cared for anyone else to know, but that it meant enough to her and their family that they remembered me like that. And not like, she didn't say like, this guy was a singer, you know, whatever. Like, it was just someone that did something for them and their family. Like, that's my coolest story about Nashville so far, of what people remember me for. That was cool, man.
I mean, he was crying there, and you know, that the quick version of that story, which we mentioned on the show, was he was eating at a restaurant he goes to a lot, like 15 years ago. And the owner, because he went there all the time, was talking to a table and about how one of her family members had cancer and they didn't trust flying him, so they were just going to try to drive him up in a car to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. And Jake's like, hey, you don't have to just drive in a car. You can have my tour bus. That way you can sleep on the bus. And no one ever knew anything about it until they were closing and they interviewed the store owner. She says, one of the most memorable moments was this happening. And I was with Jake when I saw it come out, and I was like, dude, wow. I said, dude, like he does, Tim.
Dude.
Like, dude. And so I posted it because I knew he wouldn't, and it's just a touching. Check out the interview, Jake Owen, on this week's Bobbycast. It really is great. Search for it wherever you get your podcasts, and thanks. I travel a lot. I don't like traveling. I travel a lot for work. So if it's work and I'm on the road, if it's a vacation, I always find myself packing basically an extra bag with all the essentials. I better take two toothbrushes in case I lose one. I better take extra toothpaste. I better take extra shaving gel. I do this constantly, right? I do it with like underwear and stuff too. So, but here's the thing. Now, because of Target Circle 360, that is in the past. Because if you're going on vacation, if you're traveling for work, Target Circle 360 gives everyone unlimited same-day delivery wherever they go. You can pack lighter, or you can just not worry if you forget as much stuff because you doo-doop, boop. Ba-doop, boop, ba-doop, boop, in it, right there. Sign up for Target Circle 360 today. The only thing better than getting delivery from Target is getting unlimited same-day delivery from Target while you're on vacation or while you're on the road. Sign up for the new Target Circle 360 so you can stock up on food, supplies, or pool stuff, or everything in between without ever interrupting your summer plans. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
Hey, it's Amy here to talk about the incredible work being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in hope. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. What they are doing at St. Jude is making a huge difference. It is full of joy there, which a lot of families need at that time. They don't need to be worrying about travel, lodging, food, everything is paid for at St. Jude so that families can focus on their child that has cancer. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude. It's only $19 a month, and when you sign up, you'll get the new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope at musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Amy, there's a guy named Shannon Sharp. He used to play in the NFL. He's a Hall of Famer. And now he does a show on Fox Sports. And so he was at a basketball game, and he gets into a fight with one of the players' dads.
Oh.
Like he's sitting on the side and basically gets into and is yelling at them, and he goes on the court. And he shouldn't be doing it.
Oh, man.
Did you see? So then he has to go, and it gets pretty intense, but then he has to go on his own show, and he apologized on his own show. And I want to play this clip here.
As you probably have heard or have seen, Friday night at the Lakers game, I want to apologize for my behavior. You know, guys, I've preached for the last 6.5 years, responsibility and accountability. And I take full responsibility for what transpired. It does not matter what Dylan Brooks said or how many times he said it. Me being the responsible person, me having the platform that I have and having so many people look up to me, I was wrong.
He's a big dude. I wouldn't want to fight him. He starts fighting with Dylan Brooks, then John Morant, then John Morant's dad, and that's where they start.
It
they
was got close. Awesome.
It's crazy. And so he apologized on a show, and I can appreciate that. That was an authentic apology, even though he got mad then. That was for real. So we're all going to apologize for something. I don't care what it is. Who's sorry, and what'd you do? I'm going to you first. Amy, apologize for something.
Okay. Well, I feel as though there was like a season where I was a bad sport when we would play games.
A season? That was yesterday.
Yeah,
you got a yellow card like a week ago.
I'm apologizing for it now, and I'm vowing to move forward differently when we play games. When I act that way, when I'm a poor sport, and when I'm combative, it's negative, it's low vibes, I want no part of it, and I'm sorry that I've ever brought that energy to the games because they're supposed to be fun and uplifting. And I am sorry that I have behaved that way.
We accept your apology.
Yeah.
Guys. Okay, good.
Thank you, Amy.
Good. Eddie, what are you apologizing for?
Yeah, well, in November, I decided to take on the role as head coach of my son's basketball team. And we started in December, and I came on the show and said, we're going to be awesome. Our team's so good. We're stacked. We won our first game, and then we didn't win after that. We are currently 1-6. We're terrible, and I would like to apologize to the parents of the teammates.
Sponsor.
I would like to apologize to the players because it's my bad. I'm the head coach, and Bones, you are the sponsor of our team. And I'd like to apologize to you too. Our team is terrible, and I'm sorry.
I was told I had a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought we were going to be a winning team, and it's just a lot harder.
Forgive you.
Thank you. It's on me. I'm the head coach. Okay.
We forgive you. Ray, you want to apologize for something?
Yeah, sorry to Lunchbox and his wife. We were all getting on the same plane, and they talked to me before. They said, hey, you have a better B class. They're like C class. They said, will you please save our seats? And I said, absolutely. Of course I'll save your seats. Well, I had a couple mimosas later. I got on the plane, and I was like, screw that. I don't feel like saving their seats from their adult people that can get their own seats. So I just sat down. They walked past me. I had to tell them I did not save their seats, and for that, I'm sorry.
Lunchbox. Do you accept his apology?
I accept your apology.
Hey, that's right. Wow. Yep. I'd like to apologize to my wife because apparently I've done some things that I'm not proud of in her dreams.
Oh, no. I hate it when they do this.
Yeah. Well, sometimes she wakes up.
My wife does it all the time.
She's just like, oh, you said this really mean thing to me in my dream. And I'd like to apologize for Dream Me. And if I could put my arm around Dream Me, I'd say, buddy, shape up, because what you do in there affects me out here.
Yeah. That's funny.
So, you know, and growing up, I was always told to chase your dreams, not apologize for them. But here I am. So I like to apologize for Dream Me, who sometimes hurts my wife's feelings and hurts me.
Hey, it takes a big man to do that,
thank
man.
You. So good job. Good thank job. You. I apologize. Thank you. Thank you. Lunchbox, what do you want to apologize for?
Well, I'd like to apologize for accusing my wife of losing the scissors 2 months ago. They went missing and they are nowhere. And I'm like, why? I never use the scissors. You're the only one that uses the scissors. And I was cleaning up Christmas decorations and I realized I had cut the top of the tree so I could put the star on it. And I set it on the mantle above the fireplace and it was behind some Christmas decorations. I was taking those decorations down the other day, found the scissors, and I told her, I just put them back in the jar, and I was like, oh, so you found the scissors? So she has no, I have never admitted to her that I was the one that lost the scissors.
That's a double apology.
Until right now. Yeah. And I even put them back in the drawer or the jar and said, 30 minutes later, oh, so you found the scissors. I didn't put them there. I'm like, okay, so they just magically appear in the jar?
Oh, boy.
And I kept making comments for 2 months about, so what'd you do with the scissors? Are you sure
you just kept on dragging it out even though it wasn't a thing?
Well, because the scissors were missing.
But it was your fault, but then you
but
kept...
But I didn't know... No. I didn't know it was my fault
But it was your fault that you...
Until recently, yeah.
That you blamed her. You blamed her.
I blamed her because she was the only one that ever used the scissors.
So you can't now argue that she lost them because she didn't.
She didn't. But right now, she's probably going to hear this. Mm-hmm. I am sorry I accused you of losing the scissors, and then I'm sorry that I kept accusing you of putting the scissors back and not telling me that you found the scissors.
Here's the thing. He knows there's a chance she's not listening to this.
Yeah, you're right.
He's not right. Really apologizing.
You know what? We forgive him, though. Yeah. We forgive him. This is forgiveness.
Oh, man.
Hey, good job. Let's do a segment called Good Parent, Bad Parent, because I feel like there's a fine line between that.
Yeah.
I feel like, and I don't know. I'm not a parent yet.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
But I watch you guys, and I feel like it's a constant struggle to know if you're doing it right, because there really is no right. And everybody interprets parenthood differently, and every situation's different. So it's time for good parent, bad parent. Eddie, you're up. What happened?
Okay, so I've been trying to teach my kids about not wasting food. This has been a big deal. Like, do you serve what you're going to eat? I don't make them clean the plate, but they serve their food. So whatever you serve, you've got to eat.
That's interesting, because it used to be clean your plate, and if you didn't eat everything, you had to sit there until you ate. And that was torture.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Even if I liked it, sometimes it was too much, and I'm so full.
Yeah, so when you serve your plate, make sure you're serving what you know you're going to eat.
I can only eat one manwich. Okay, so they go up and they get their own and put it on. And what was up? What was for dinner?
I think it was like lasagna, and then there was always like a little bit of like a broccolis, and then blackberries.
That's funny. He said broccolis with an S.
Well, because it's more than one.
But no, it's still just broccoli.
I know.
So
and then like five blackberries.
Lasagna, broccoli, and blackberries. Balanced, okay? Nice.
Yes, very balanced. And then, so one of my boys, he doesn't notice that I see him not eating his blackberries. And he knows he has to eat his food. He goes to the trash, throws his plate away with the blackberries in there. So I'm like, whoa, what did you do there? And he's like, I'm done eating. And I pick up the plate and like, nope, look, there's some blackberries left. I'm like, you know the rule. You have to eat your food. You pick five blackberries. You have to eat them. Out of the trash, Dad? You have to eat them out of the trash. So I made him get them out of the trash and eat the blackberries.
How long until he ate all five blackberries?
An hour.
Oh, he sat there?
He's kind of a germaphobe. And I knew that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to be really hard for him.
Did you let him rewash them?
Oh, yeah, sure. Rewash. Of course. Like, yeah, just don't waste them. So he rewashed them, sat there in his hands. His hands were blue because, you know, blackberries just stain your hands. And he just kind of like one at a time stared at it until he finally ate them all.
So the question is, good parent, bad parent, because Eddie made his kid eat out of the garbage.
I mean, I wouldn't say it that way.
But I do say it that way.
That's like literally what happened.
Amy, good parent, bad parent.
I don't want to call Eddie a bad parent.
But you can for the sake of the bit.
I know. And blackberries are expensive. Mm-hmm. I do not like wasting.
We don't really think he's a bad parent. But it's a bit. It's
it's called.
I would not do it.
So you're saying?
Bad parent.
Lunchbox.
Good parent. You have rules in place. And if you go back on those rules once, guess what? You give them an inch, they take a mile, and they start doing it every night. I'm shocked you let them rewash them. I would have made him eat them. Like, if you want to throw them away, you eat them. I wouldn't have let him rewash them. So when you said that, I was like, a little bit of a weak parent, but I would say good parent.
I'm a big precedent guy, just in general. I like them. I like to live by them. If someone sets one with me, I depend on knowing that's your precedent. We've set this. I'm going to on this show, we have precedents. Being late, being there for each other, doing your work. And if you don't, I can't let anybody skirt. And even myself, like, great parent.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because you made the rule and you, excuse me?
Hey, parents talking.
I didn't know great parent was an option.
Sorry. Good. High-pitched good. Good parent.
Oh,
now, the styles and techniques are all different. I don't know if I'd have thrown it in the garbage or I would have taken it out of the garbage. Maybe I'd have gotten five more, even though they are expensive. Doesn't matter to me. You did it. You set a precedent. Eat your blackberries. Maybe next time he'll get two, and then if you finish those, maybe he'll get a couple more.
There you go.
You guys hit us up, and if you have a similar situation, you can hit us with that too.
Wow. Thanks, Bones.
You went 2-1.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Amy, I'm shocked.
Well, the trash is what I really had a problem with. And then also, I think there's still a way to get them to understand without,
no support from her.
Yeah.
Zero.
No support from her.
I just feel like that would end up backfiring on me later in life or something.
She goes to therapy, it's like, my mom made me eat all the garbage.
Yes.
I thought about
that. She made me eat the blackberries. I'd eat the coffee filter.
I mean, yeah, I already have enough of those moments where I know my kids are going to be in therapy one day because of me, but.
Thank you. And we'll go to the listener panel. Go over and talk to Douglas in San Antonio, who's on. Hey, Douglas, Eddie made his kid eat out of the garbage. What do you think?
I'm thinking he should practice what he preaches.
How so?
If he's got that rule in place, which is great, but is he willing to do it himself?
Eddie, if you serve yourself, do you eat every bit of food?
Every single thing. Every single thing. And if I accidentally throw something away, I have no problem eating it.
I've seen him eat out of the garbage here.
No problem.
Oh.
So if the same situation happened to you, you would do it as well?
Absolutely.
Would you let your son call you on it if he sees you do it and be like, Dad, there's a pickle in there and you didn't eat it?
They've done that before. Okay. So yes, they call me out on it and I do. I follow through.
Goose and gander.
And the goose.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
You're the goose, the kids are the gander. As long as you're rolling, setting an example of constant consistency, awesome.
Yeah, man.
That's why you're a good parent. Douglas, I appreciate you bringing that up. That's a great point. Thanks a lot, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all. Take care, studio.
Have a good day, buddy. Let's go over to Deidre in North Carolina. Deidre, what do you think about the situation here?
Oh, my gosh. I think Eddie is, like, father of the year for that. Let me tell you what. I have four boys and one girl. And any time that they want to turn up their nose at what I've made for dinner or complain about what I've made or not eat what I've made, the next day we're having rice and water day. I will make a pot of white rice.
Wow.
Put it on the stove. That's what's for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, whatever you want. That's what it is. So 100% hands down, Eddie, father of the year.
Yeah, be critical of the food that we made.
Hold on.
Try that.
Yeah, I get it. That whole segment, great. Dead at this point.
Rice and water day.
So let me get this straight.
Okay.
If your kids, if they complain about dinner or lunch or something that you've put effort in, let me get this right, Deidre, right? Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And because I'm very interested in this,
mm-hmm.
if they complain, they know that the next day, what's it called again?
Rice and water day.
And
actually, I think we called it gratitude day or something like that.
I like that name. The name makes it better. Yes.
Gratitude. That helps.
Have gratitude because what you have today sucks. So be happy what you get tomorrow.
Rice and water.
So for breakfast, what do they have served to them?
On rice and water day?
Yeah.
White rice and water.
Cool. Okay, so there they go. And then they get home maybe as a snack after school. What are their options?
Rice and water.
Okay.
And they could have some salt if they want.
Oh, wow. Well, only get salt for it.
You can salt the
rice. So then for dinner, let's just say for dinner, they're hungry. Mom, what's for dinner? What's for dinner on Gratitude Day?
Warm rice and water.
Breakfast, it's cold.
This is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And how many times have you had to actually do Gratitude Day?
I mean, probably once or twice, honestly, when they were younger. So they learned quick, to be appreciative of whatever. And I don't make crazy stuff. Spaghetti, tacos, lasagna. Like, I don't make crazy things, but my kids just early on seem to be really picky. And, I mean, we don't live on the high house on the hill. So, you know, we appreciate what mom and dad work for to put on the table. And I think that's what has molded them into, like, really great, respectful young men now. And my son is a sailor in the Navy. My middle son is going into the service when he graduates high school. They just have a very, they have an awareness for the value of things. So we don't just hand them things, and that includes food.
I love rice and water day. Like, I've loved nothing in so long. I just love it. I think that is it's the greatest. It's a holiday. In my mind, that's a holiday. It's
that
a holiday
you don't want to have.
Gratitude day.
Deidre, that is. Yeah. I love it. Thank you for calling and sharing that with us. And your son's A+. Just appreciate what they're doing. I love this call. I put this up as one of my favorite calls in a long time. Thank you, Deidre.
Listen to you all every morning. Thank you so much for making our morning better. We appreciate it.
Wow. Thank you.
That's a good mom right there.
We can't be that. We can't be that.
No, we strive to be.
Yeah, but we can't be that call. So you can't go up from here. So. Hello, friends. Thank you for letting us be a part of your day whenever it is. If it's in the morning live, if it's on the podcast late, thank you. We really appreciate that. And now time to bring you the news.
Bobby's Big Stories.
Chris Stapleton will sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. That's awesome. That's all. That's the story. It's just awesome. Other notable country performers, Luke Bryan, 2017, Carrie, 2010, The Chicks, 2003, Faith Hill, 2000, Garth Brooks, in 93. So it's kind of their bone to throw at us since nobody country will be in the halftime show. And country music to America and to the world is still considered a niche format. Large niche. I mean, it's the best.
Some people still call it country and western.
Right. So they're not going to put a country artist in the halftime show unless they have massive crossover.
Yeah.
Shania Twain. I'm sure there's been a couple, but not many. People are like, why don't we get Luke Combs on the Super? I agree, but most general people aren't smart enough to know how awesome country music is.
Yeah, that's a way to put it.
That's how I put it.
Yeah.
General people are just dumb. That's how I put it. The biggest thing your neighbors judge you for, your yard.
For sure.
A survey of homeowners finds 65% of respondents have lived next to a messy or unkept property at some point. It bothers them so much they're willing to spend up to $200 a year to clean up their neighbor's yard.
Oh, wow. Their neighbor.
So you're looking at, you know, a little less than $20 a month just to do little things or spend time mowing or picking. That's from apartment therapy. And so you ever had a neighbor that had a really unkept yard? Because I was fined by the HOA many times, not for having a bad yard, sometimes forgetting to mow. My front yard was, it was like the most prominent, or at least the most forward-facing house in this neighborhood. Meaning you drove into it and it was just up there. It was no bigger. It was one of the smaller houses, but it was just up in the front. And so if my yard was a little bit grown, I feel like they would come with a ruler and put it in the ground and be like, well, let's find them again. Or if my trash can wasn't back where you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I leave it on the road for 2 weeks. And I was like, well, I've already been fined, so I'll just act like I never knew the first fine happened. But I would get fined for that, but never like garbage. You ever had a bad neighbor, Amy?
Especially, if I didn't have an HOA, certain places, there's couches, tires, old cars that like have flat tires out front. Like you can't like rust. There's nothing you can do about it.
Eddie?
Oh, yeah. I had a neighbor that had like an ice cream truck that just parked in the front.
That's so legit.
Ice cream truck, trailers. Like Amy said, old cars. Not a good look. Boat, an old boat that for sure wouldn't float.
Yeah, boats stay because those don't move. Especially with an old boat, they don't float.
Yeah.
You had an old boat, it wouldn't float. This story, we don't really do a lot of death, but this story's sad and just not really what I expected to read here. A Kansas deputy finds a 32-year-old hunter dead in the back of his car. The dog had stepped on the trigger of his rifle in the back seat. A 32-year-old man from Wichita, Kansas, was hunting on Saturday near the village of maybe Guaita Springs. Not sure how to say that, but 50 miles south of his hometown. The unnamed man was found dead in the front seat of his vehicle by Sumner County sheriffs just north of the border with Oklahoma. Investigators concluded the man's dog stepped on the rifle in the back seat of the car, which then fired and killed him.
Tragic.
That is tragedy. We're really sorry to hear that. Really sorry to hear that. Unfortunate, unlucky. That's from the New York Post. I've never heard of that before. Here are the signs that if the person that you're with is the one that is real, if that love is pure.
All right.
Especially if it's in the first year of the relationship or first couple of years of the marriage. You make plans far ahead for future family get-togethers because that is now important. You have fancy date nights still. And again, this is early in dating and marriage in the different levels. So
it's kind of like you.
All you guys have been married.
Long time.
Yeah, long time.
I mean, Methuselah was 11 when you guys
long time ago.
Yeah. You sometimes work out together or you do things that are team building activities. You still do thoughtful gifts. You get excited if they surprise you. You have phone calls for longer than 10 minutes. Oh, that's from Parade. Well, I don't do that with any human.
I was like, yeah. Man, we don't know any of this.
Only if Amy like hijacks the line, which means I'm on with her. And then Amy doesn't really breathe sometimes when she's talking. So it's kind of even hard to get in and like be like, okay, well, I'll talk to you later. But yeah. You have a lot to say, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Scam alert. They can run. And really, Usain Bolt runs, and he made millions of dollars, but somebody stole it all, basically. Did you guys see this?
This is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the FBI has been asked to assist in Usain Bolt's $12.7 million retirement fund.
Oh, man.
As Jamaican officials allege that he was victimized in a scam for over a decade. Alleged scam came to light when his retirement fund went missing. It's $12,000 right now. Mm. It went from $12.7 million to $12,000.
Oh.
They don't really know what happened. They've got some people that they're investigating. But this scam has lasted 13 years where they've been maybe slowly taking it out, dripping it out. I don't know.
They played the long game.
Daily Mail. Space.
Yeah, this is like Bernie Madoff.
And this is why you can't trust people with your money.
Does he have a money person? Like, is the
I'm sure to have that kind of money. Yeah,
yeah. It was like he had it somewhere that he trusted people with it, and then it's like, so sad.
Tracy Lawrence will receive the 2023 Humanitarian Award at this year's CRS. The award is given to the person whose philanthropic efforts leave lasting impacts on the causes they champion. Sure. Tracy Lawrence is awesome. He does the big turkey fry. Been doing that forever. The big benefit concert. Can't say enough nice things about Tracy Lawrence. So really cool that he's receiving that award. Four Things with Amy Brown. That's a live event in Nashville, Saturday, March 25th at Franklin Theater. If you guys want to come to this, it would be awesome.
This made the news.
I was just thinking the same
Let's
thing.
Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was the front of TMZ.
Wow.
Join Amy and friends for honest conversations about knowing your worth, using your voice, and building the confidence to have the life that you deserve. Tickets go on sale this Friday. Right?
Yeah.
At 10 a.m. Central, go to bobbybones.com. And so check it out. It'll be a really fun event that Amy's doing. There'll be guests, Four Things with Amy Brown live in Nashville. I travel a lot. I don't like traveling. I travel a lot for work. So if it's work and I'm on the road, if it's a vacation, I always find myself packing basically an extra bag with all the essentials. I better take two toothbrushes in case I lose one. I better take extra toothpaste. I better take extra shaving gel. I do this constantly, right? I do it with like underwear and stuff too. So, but here's the thing. Now, because of Target Circle 360, that is in the past. Because if you're going on vacation, if you're traveling for work, Target Circle 360 gives everyone unlimited same-day delivery wherever they go. You can pack lighter, or you can just not worry if you forget as much stuff because you doo-doo, boop. Ba-doop, boop, ba-doop, boop, in it, right there. Sign up for Target Circle 360 today. The only thing better than getting delivery from Target is getting unlimited same-day delivery from Target while you're on vacation or while you're on the road. Sign up for the new Target Circle 360 so you can stock up on food, supplies, or pool stuff, or everything in between without ever interrupting your summer plans. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but, you know, somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. There's an app called Historical Figures, and it's being criticized because you can chat with a lot of historical figures via AI. They load it with all the information about them, then you can ask questions, and then it answers like it would answer. For example, if you were going to want to talk to George Washington,
ooh,
don't forget, George Washington was really, before he was president, was like a general. He's a military leader. Did all these great things. And so they arm these AI bots with everything about them, how they would talk, the manner that they have. You chat with them. It's amazing. Well, people are getting upset because you can chat with Jesus and Hitler as two of the many.
Huh. Oh, okay.
Now, I don't have a problem with either one of those because I'm sure it's not going to be lovely talking to Hitler. I'm sure he's going to be awful. It's probably going to yell at you. It's the worst dude ever.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I don't think, because it's the worst dude ever that wanted to kill millions of people, that we should eliminate him from history. We should learn about and from so that never happens again. Jesus, I think it'd be awesome. Thomas Rhett said it. He'd like to have a beer with Jesus.
Yeah. He did say that.
Yeah, sing about it.
I mean, how cool you get to just go in there and ask Jesus a question and he'll answer you as if, I mean, I'm sure they pull it, the information from the Bible.
So the app is called Historical Figures. And if you don't want to talk to Hitler or Jesus, or really there's all these endless, but they're getting most upset about these two, then you don't have to. You just don't. But I think from the great things that have happened in history and from the terrible things that have happened in history, if we don't learn from it, it will happen again. And people are so soft and sensitive about every freaking thing now that they get upset about things like this. But I do think this app, that's super cool.
It's wild.
Like, eliminate the controversy of Hitler and talking to Jesus and how you feel about it. But isn't that super cool?
Yeah.
Just, I would have no other friends.
Just talk
just
to
sit there and
people.
Talk to all those people for days on end.
Benji Franks.
Napoleon.
What's up? Nappy Nerd. I'd be in a text thread. It'd be like a text thread and chat with like six of us. Yeah. It'd be like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yes.
Socrates. That's Socrates.
Oh, I was like, who's that?
Yes. If you could hop in with any historical figure, ooh, like for real, like you could actually bring it back and have a talk with them.
Ooh, I like this.
Got it. Yeah.
Who would you bring back and have a talk with and ask questions to be just enthralled by? Amy.
Mother Teresa.
Why?
Because I feel like I would want to soak up her wisdom and absorb from her and learn how I can have more compassion and show up better in the world. I think it'd just be really cool to sit down with her. How many people got to go over and do that? I mean, that I know. Nobody.
Eddie?
Al Capone, notorious Chicago gangster, because, look, he got away with so many crimes, but I think he went to prison for, like, tax evasion
or
something.
All they could get
him on. Right. So, like, I want to be like, all right, dude, come on. Like, you didn't kill any of these people. Like, what happened? Tell me why you turned into a decent person into the most notorious gangster in the world.
Probably parents, how he was raised.
Yeah, no, I don't want to hear from you, Bones. I want to hear from Al Capone.
No, but I can probably tell you. Yeah. People that go on to do wonderfully amazing or wonderfully awful things are often people that didn't have traditional, stable parental figures.
You're probably right.
Because they're trying to prove something or they're trying to prove they're not something.
Yeah.
And that could be strong or weak or smart or dumb or... It's why, probably parents. In January 1947, the 48-year-old Capone suffered a stroke and he came down with pneumonia. He died on January 25th.
In prison.
Of that year.
Wow.
He's only 48. I guess I just assumed he got a lot older than that.
He looked old.
Lunchbox?
Bernie Madoff. Because I'm a businessman making business deals trying to get that money.
And that's not who you want to learn from.
No. I do want to learn from him. But I want to know, like, how did he get to where he...
You can still talk to him, though. No, he's not dead. He died recently?
He's dead.
Oh, he is? When did he die? Last year?
21. Oh, yeah. Dude, you could have talked to him.
I would like to know, like, were you a legit... Like, where did it go wrong? Like, where did you start scamming people? Like, were you... in business for the right things.
Do you know the answer to this, Amy? It's a documentary on Netflix right now.
Watch the documentary.
You don't need to talk with him. It's right there.
But why did he start stealing the money?
Years ago. He started scamming young. And it was like, oh, wow, okay, I can figure out how to do this and do this. And he just kept doing it. It's the longest running Ponzi scheme, I think. I know,
but he had to be legit at some point.
Did
he grow
up rich? And did he have money and then wanted to make more? Or did he grow up poor and he just wanted money because he never had it?
Yes.
Yeah, rarely it's the middle class to pretty almost upper class that does this kind of stuff.
And it was sort of like, I think to Lunch's point, to answer his question, it was almost like, shoot, he got in over his head on something, had borrowed some money and was like, oh man, I need to pay that money back. So then he figured out, oh, I can pay this back by doing this. And then that was where it all, and then it was a domino effect from there. He's like, oh wow, I got away with that. So try it again.
It's like Breaking Bad.
Try it again. But no, he didn't have cancer and was trying to, like, pay for his medical bills.
Well, I get it, but it's the domino effect.
Yeah, the domino effect. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but, I mean, with Walter White, you kind of go, I get it.
Sure.
But with Bernie Madoff, unless you just are greedy, you don't go, oh, I get it.
It just got really snowballed for him. I would choose someone else to talk to, Lunchbox.
Well,
on your list, Lunchbox?
I didn't have a second, man.
It was only Bernie Madoff or
Bust?
Yeah,
because, I mean, really, those history people, they don't really interest me.
Here's the thing,
Then you just don't know enough about history.
No, I do. I took history in school.
But I'm saying it's so interesting if you just care.
Like, who would I talk to? Like,
you pick anyone.
I did.
What about a sports figure?
There you go.
I thought about Kobe.
Babe Ruth?
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe.
I thought about Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, that's way better than Bernie Madoff.
In your opinion?
Okay.
Bernie's better than Mother Teresa, in my opinion.
Oh my God.
Do
you know how many people he, like, literally ruined their lives?
I don't know.
Millions and millions of dollars from
people. No, it's like detrimental.
Like billions overall, but ruined their lives.
Yeah, completely.
Mm-hmm. Bad dude, for sure. I thought about this last night, and there were a few that I went down, like, even like the Galileo, right? Or people that discovered some...
He's the star
guy, yeah.
There you go.
Ah, okay.
But I just feel like we wouldn't even speak the same language.
He's out there, and probably.
Because the only reason I know Galileo is that song, Galileo!
And then I thought, like, Christopher Columbus, so I could punch him in the face because he's a terrible, terrible person. Well. And how he gets celebrated or was celebrated for so long and he was a terrible person. Rape, genocide, just awful. And let's have a holiday. So I didn't want to do anything like that. So I ended up going with Harriet Tubman.
Good one.
Because you talk about somebody who risked it all for the sake of others. Who was someone who was able to speak and you almost want to say underground, but I mean, that's literally and figuratively, like was able to, and she just was what they call the Moses of the people, like led people to hopefully a better life.
It's pretty amazing.
I mean, every single time that she would help someone get out of there, her life was at risk. Every single time. I mean, she was a slave when she was born. So, you know, depending on what you read, anywhere from like 10 to 20 missions, almost 100 slaves. She was able to make that network of safe houses. I mean, just an amazing story. Somebody that I don't think is celebrated near enough for a time in our country that is just apprehensible. God dang. But Harriet Tubman's awesome. Mm-hmm. How she ain't on something. And, you know, they thought about putting her on a dollar bill.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, she, yes, absolutely. But Harriet Tubman was pretty cool. I liked that. And then I started with Andy Kaufman.
Oh, that's that comedian guy, right?
It's just too different. Andy Kaufman's like a hero-ish of mine. He died when I was a baby, but he was just odd, and he would get on stage and do weird things. Not so much jokes, but what they would call, he would get on stage and just do things to see what everybody, how everybody would react.
Like shock value.
Yeah, so those are my two. I love this app. I think I'm going to download it right now.
Yeah.
Would you rather have like a serious, I feel like
he's
have
a performance artist. Yeah.
I feel like you'd have a serious conversation over just like a good time conversation.
With Andy Kaufman?
Yeah.
I just would have a lot of questions like why. Did he try to do, and I know the answers to this, but why wasn't he a standard comedian? Like how awkward did he feel when he would put a tent up on stage?
That's good.
Just go into the tent and take a nap and just let everybody leave.
Or read The Great Gatsby.
Or read it all the time. Like, yes.
That's hilarious.
It'd be Harriet Tubman and then it would be Andy Kaufman in that order. And then Papa Smurf.
Mm. Yeah, all right, me and Eddie kind of went. All right, yeah.
I mean, I still like mine.
And you picked Bernie Madoff. Good for you, buddy.
Oh, like Al Capone's any better?
Eddie's like Jack the Ripper. No. Sorry, let's talk like Jack
Al
the Ripper.
Al Capone killed a bunch of people, and you guys
that's
are.
That's true. Eddie sucks.
Exactly. Right. You guys are ripping me.
Yes, I want to know more about
Eddie. Eddie sucks too.
Whoa.
But you did say you wanted to learn more about why he decided to take a life of crime.
Correct.
But Eddie, okay, that's what I wanted to learn.
No, you don't.
No, you want
to
be
learn
rich.
From him.
You were like, I made a video on my Instagram story. You can go see it now. And basically, it's about there was a guy that played for Missouri basketball team who punched one of the Arkansas players right in the nads. So it's on my Instagram story at Mr. Bobby Bones. And generally, it's just like, guys, we should never hit another dude in the nads unless we're being threatened physically or even death. Like, that's really a spot you shouldn't hit just while competing. That's a baby maker. That's very painful. It was a little joke, but what happened, I was being funny. I'm like, I'm a very masculine man. But at the same time, I was wearing my towel because I have a specific towel because my hair, I just haven't cut my hair in forever, and it gets very curly. And so I wear one of those towels on my head that's like no frizz towel.
Yeah, and that absorbs the water.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So after I wash it, I put the towel on. It's made specifically for this. It's got a little rubber band on it. Fits in. You can go look, Mr. Bobby Bones. But I'm making a joke like I'm very masculine. But I'm wearing this towel wrap on my head like you would see your wife or girlfriend wear. And everybody's like, yeah, you're masculine. You're wearing a towel on your... I'm like, that's a joke, dummy.
That's the point. Yeah.
That's the point. Yeah, right. But some women are like, hey, what's that towel you're wearing on your head?
Oh, link it.
Yeah. They're like, huh. So it's up there, Mr. Bobby Bones. But I do, if I wash, my hair gets so curly that I have to wear one of those frizz towels to actually have some control. And then if I don't, like it's pretty long now, as you can see. Sometimes I wear bangs. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky, though, that I have all my hair.
You are very lucky.
Yeah, very. When I finally went back and met my real dad a few years ago, I looked right at his head. He was wearing a hat, and I was like, do you have all your hair?
Let me see this.
Yeah. Because people will go, it's from your mom's side. It's now been proven. It's a mixture of both, or it's not just from one or the other, or it could be from your mom or dad's side. Genetics are passed down in a lot of different weird ways. But that's why, I haven't seen you in 30 years. Do you mind pulling your hat back? And he had all his hair, and I was pretty happy with that. So that video's up if you want to see me in my frizz towel. And I guess I can link it. But my wife's the one who found it, and she has a couple herself. I do want to go to Lunchbox and do Hero and Zero because he brought both. He said, I want to do something on my Hero and something on my Zero. So let's start with the Hero, Lunchbox. Who is it?
There's this 24-year-old dude. He's a self-made millionaire and said guys in their 20s should all own a luxury sports car because $200,000 is chump change. That is what I'm talking about. He said there is so much money in the world right now that you think $200,000 a lot, it's nothing. And if you don't have a Lambo by the time you're 24... in your 20s, you need to look yourself in the mirror and have a serious discussion.
But how did he make this money? Does he have parents that are rich?
No, he's a self-made millionaire.
Okay, so is Kylie Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she is.
Or Kendall Jenner.
With a little help.
But yeah, they had a leg up.
Yeah, they definitely had a leg up, right? Their name, their sister was super rich and famous.
He made $8 million in just 6 years. He created a Google ad agency, YouTube, and drop shipping, the e-commerce practice of accepting customers' orders without keeping actual stock on hand. I don't know.
Yeah.
He had nine cars.
Know. That's right.
He had nine cars by the age of 19.
And that's your hero?
That's my hero.
And maybe he did hustle all this up.
I mean, that is such a cool line. If you're a guy in your 20s and you don't have a Lamborghini, you should actually sit down and have like a serious discussion with yourself as to why you don't have a Lambo.
Well, you're a guy.
Well, I didn't get there. And I should. I had a discussion with myself. What am I doing wrong in my life? But this dude is living it. Like, that is such a smart thing to say.
What are you doing wrong in your life?
Well, I spend a lot of money on different ventures.
What ventures?
Life, lottery, bars. I mean, back
that's
in the
that's
day.
That's not a venture.
No, back
life,
back in the day.
Lottery, bars?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't think about, like, I thought I was just wheeling and dealing, and it would come, and it didn't come. And so I probably messed up. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I wish I'd have had this guy. If I would have seen his quotes when I was 18 or 19, I'd have been like, you know what? He's right. And I would have buckled down and figured it out.
But you still have time to buckle down right now.
Yeah, you have the quotes now.
Yeah, he said in your 20s.
No, but you can do it now.
So I need to have a serious discussion with myself and say, what are you doing?
What are you doing wrong right now?
I have 3 kids and a wife.
Yeah, that'll stop you.
I mean,
that's wrong.
It cuts into your Lambo.
It is expensive.
It's expensive.
Okay, well.
You know, when you got to pay for 70% of the dinners and.
Yeah, I hear you, but then make more.
Let's go. Talk to the bosses.
No.
Put in a good word for me.
Can you imagine I call him? Hey, Lunchbox needs to be paid more. Why? He said, let's go.
He said, put in a good word for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, so here's the
he
word.
He read this quote.
I mean, you can read him the quote, too. Now.
What's your zero?
And I don't even know how to pronounce the guy's name. He's from Detroit, but whatever. Hey, shout out to him, my hero. Now, here's my zero. It goes out to Teddy Hobbs. Oh, he's a 4-year-old, now the youngest member of Mensa. Oh, so cool.
Your zero's a 4-year-old?
He taught himself to
You're
read.
You're insulting somebody 4 years old?
He thinks he's cool. He taught himself to read at just 26 months old. You can't teach yourself to read. Someone had to teach you, so he didn't teach himself how to read.
Well, you can learn the phonetic. You can learn.
No, not by yourself, because you don't even know what it says.
Somebody can teach you like the fa, the ta, the ga, and then you could go fa, ta, ga, and then figure out how to read. Like, you can teach yourself to read if someone teaches you, like, what the sounds make.
I understand, but they said self-taught. You are not self-taught. Someone has to teach you.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank
Why
you.
Why are you angry at a 4-year-old?
Because they're giving him all this credit for teaching himself to read. Eddie, did you teach yourself to read or someone teach you?
No, teachers.
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah. Someone teaches you how to read because you don't know what the words are. And then his IQ, 139.
Wow.
When he was 3 years old. And then he can count to 107 different languages.
Oh, wow.
And wants a career in medicine.
Oh.
He's going to be rich.
That's no, he's amazing. Not.
Yes, he is.
He's going to have a Lamborghini in his 20s.
Well, this is also why you don't have any money. Want to bet? Betting on all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, listen, just because you're smart doesn't mean you're going to be rich. You watch those kids on the spelling bee, guess where what they end up doing?
Doctors.
No, they don't. Yeah. A lot of them, you know what they do?
You can't do a lot as a...
No, I've watched.
Go ahead.
I've gone through those stories like, oh, where are they now? A lot of them work for the spelling bee.
You,
it's like, what the crap?
You study where people from the spelling bee are
now.
Like,
you guys always tell
thing?
Me they're going to be so rich and they're going to change the world. And it's like,
it's probably like
Samantha, she works for the spelling
That's
bee
probably
now.
Probably like 4 or 5 of them.
Jeremy, he is now employed by the spelling bee.
It's Why like, does this make you so angry? There's
Because they just make this crap up.
What did they make up?
Oh, look at me. And he's a nerd.
He's 4.
And he taught himself to read at 20. He didn't teach himself to read. Like, they just put, that's a lie right there. That's a straight up lie.
Are you more envious of the first guy or more angry at the second?
Oh.
I mean, think about this.
That's tough. I may be more mad at this 4-year-old, Teddy Hobbs.
Well, he probably didn't put this in the news. He probably has nothing to do with it because he's 4.
Whatever.
How many languages can you count to 5 in?
2.
Go. In English.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Spanish.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Good. Anything else?
No, that's it. I never learned any. Oh, yeah. Sign language.
You're just doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with your finger.
But that's sign language. That is absolutely. I'm 3. I mean, give me Mensa.
He literally
Wait. How many can he do?
7.
Maybe. 7. I'm almost halfway there.
But he's 4.
I don't care. I'm 41.
And he probably does 8 if he does his finger numbers.
But okay, that's pretty good.
What?
That was Mensa smart by counting on my fingers. Sign language. You guys didn't think about that. Boom. Hey, all gone.
What?
What was that?
That's
that?
All gone. Trick?
Oh, he knows one other sign. He did all gone.
I love you. Hey, more?
Okay.
All done. All done.
How do you know? Is this what you do with your kids?
Yep.
Oh.
Boom.
More food.
That's how they learn. That's how they learn. Like, before they can talk, they can do sign language and tell you they want more food.
That's Hero and Zero from Lunchbox. Thank you.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Miami-Dade County, Florida. A 19-year-old man broke into 4 different houses stealing a bunch of stuff. And they're like, man, we wonder who did that. Well, problem is he wore his GPS monitor
on his ankle.
Yep.
Yeah.
He wore it while he broke into the houses, so they tracked him. Boop, boop, boop. Boop.
Showed a line of him going, this one, that one, that one, and that one. What does he say to that? I mean, Your Honor, wasn't me. And you can't, I mean, there's nothing you can do. And how do you not know that you're wearing a monitor? It literally monitors you wherever you go.
For that but moment. The positive is when he was released from jail last time, they said you have to wear this, and he did keep it on.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. Baby steps.
And there is no excuse. It doesn't say anything in the story about him saying, hey, man, it wasn't me, or someone stole it and was wearing it.
Or how'd you figure it out, guys? Yeah, all right.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Raymundo's a little under the weather today. Showed up. I said, hey, buddy, people get sick. You don't have to come in. He said his doctor's still diagnosing him.
Oh, currently.
Good.
Yeah, what does that mean, still diagnosing you?
Which is my buddy. He lives in Boston, so I told him all the symptoms.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he works in the med field, so he's like, I'll
help. That's not a doctor.
Wait, he works in the med field?
So yeah. How's he dying?
Yeah, what's the deal? Okay, why is it always like some odd thing with Ray?
Really, what's he do?
Is it a doctor?
Yeah, he works. He honestly specializes in kids, but he said he could diagnose it for me.
So he's a pediatrician? Yeah.
Yes.
Ray.
I don't know.
You said he works in the med field.
He does, Boston Med.
You saw that show.
TV show?
No, he honestly moved out there to practice medicine.
And he's a...
He was at Vandy.
He's a pediatrician. He's a real-life doctor.
Yes.
And so why is he still diagnosing you? What's wrong with you? Give us your symptoms. I'm a doctor.
Stomach ache.
You have the bug. That's it. You have the bug that we all had. It's like 36 hours. It's miserable. Hey, did you feel like you had kind of food poisoning? Did you throw up?
Yes.
And he's here?
What, yeah, what are we doing? I don't get it. Like, he texted all of us early this morning and said, hey, just stay 5 feet away from me because I'm sick. And I'm like, wait, what?
COVID, you stay 6, but Ray, right now, 5. You can get a little closer.
That's that foot difference.
Yeah, good for you.
If I get this 36-hour
bug. Oh, my goodness.
I had it.
You can still get it again, man.
Brutal.
This is no joke.
But it goes away
I have a friend in the med
quick.
Field. You can get it again.
He's like, I got a friend in the med field. He makes those rubber bands that they put on your arm before they give you a shot.
He works at General Hospital. Never heard of it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's in medical sales.
So are you feeling a little better now?
Yeah. It was all yesterday when I felt really, really bad. So I thought, why am I just going to sit on my couch if I can actually make it in?
You look pale.
No, I look a little white.
That's not good. I mean.
Well, that's called Michigan Caucasian in the winter. which is what you are. But you get people sick, I guess is why you wouldn't come in.
Right, I have a pretty important position, honestly. I feel like I'd be letting people down, but honestly, I don't feel like I can transmit it to anybody unless they come hug me or kiss me.
But you know what we do every morning before the show. And because I couldn't get my hug and kiss, I don't feel like this.
Aww.
I know, every morning we do that. Okay, well, I hope you feel better.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope people in that glass room are okay.
It's the bug. It's the bug. It's a bad bug. It hurts, but it goes away in 36 hours or so. Completely crippled me. I mean, I thought, I don't know what, it wasn't just food poisoning to me. I thought I had eaten something that had children inside of me. And it hurt so bad, and I got so sick. And then,
oh, man.
It just lifted over the course of like 8 hours, and I was just back at it. Same thing with you?
Yeah, it ruined our holidays. We started with our baby, then we all got it. It was brutal.
My sister had it, probably where I got it, and it just bop, 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 bop. And now Ray has it, and he's brought it back for all of us. I missed it, Ray. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Ray.
All right. Ray, you know you don't have to come in, and you have done such a great job at this. You've trained other people to do a good job at it.
Yeah.
And like I told you this morning before the show, you don't have to be a hero, and if it's okay to get sick.
Right, but if everybody stayed home for a sniffle and a runny nose, I mean, nobody'd be here.
But that's also, if everybody came in with a sniffle and runny nose, we would all be constantly sick because we'd be carrying it in.
But I feel like it's more than a sniffle.
And runny did nose. You throw up?
He did throw up.
Yeah. So
that's more than a sniffle. Yeah.
But I felt that because I would be in.
But that was also because I choked on the pill. I don't think that was because I actually threw up.
No, that's not true.
Okay. Thank you, Ray.
Yes.
So now we know if we throw up, we can still come in, guys.
No, that's not true.
Oh, wait. Oh.
But if you have a friend that works at St. Elsewhere, or General Hospital, or Boston Med, or Chicago Hope, you know, you're all good. Thank you all. We value you. If you're sick, stay home, Ray. Everybody else, have a great day. Mr. Bobby Bones on Instagram. Bye.
On Twitter and Instagram.
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Every time I go on a trip, if I'm traveling for work, if I'm traveling for vacation, if it's like an extended away, I find myself packing an extra bag with essentials. You know, do I have like 4 tubes of toothpaste just in case, or supplies? You know what I mean, right? That's all in the past because people can sign up for Target Circle 360, which gives everyone unlimited same-day delivery wherever they go, which for me, when I'm talking about packing, It allows me, it could be a, for a vacation for you, it could be me working, it allows me not to pack as much because it'll all be waiting for me at my destination. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. I love bacon. It's hard to find somebody who doesn't love bacon. All bacon's good, right? Yeah, but some bacon is next level. And when I talk about next level, I'm talking about Wright brand bacon. We had so much up here that the guys on the show were fighting for it. Eddie posted a big case of it that he took home. Wright brand is the number one thick cut, hand trimmed, real wood smoked bacon. You just have to try it to believe. So, bacon lovers, do yourself a big favor. Go out and get yourself some Wright brand bacon today. It's time you experience bacon the right way.
Canva is awesome for so many reasons, for your social media, but for work. If you're looking for ways to impact at work, Canva can help your points get across. All right, Mike, do you, what do we use it for? Like one sheets, if we're doing like a presentation, graphics?
Oh, it's awesome for graphics. Super easy to use.
And that's the thing too, especially with some of these apps, you think, well, there's no way I'll be able to use it, well, me, because I'm a dummy. But even I can use Canva to make things look cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to insult me and say yeah so quickly.
Yeah, you can do it. Yes. It's awesome.
So it's easy design, impactful Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, videos. Start with a designer-made template, which makes it so easy, especially for me. Customize with your content. You can add images and graphics and charts. Start designing today at canva.com. Design for work.